What about the Jews? We think of them as a people. We think of them for generations being God's people. And we think of the great promise, you know, to Abraham and the promise of Isaac and Jacob. And so we stop to think concerning Israel, where they are today. If we don't know, maybe it's good if I read some scripture to you and talk a bit about it, of what happened to them and why. Did you ever wonder why the Jews are scattered all over the world and few are in Israel? And few live in Israel. Let's look at what happened. Now, here's a scripture. We can give you a time frame when this happened. And we're in the place where we would say we're at kind of like AD 70. And we're looking at things now that are spoken here in the scripture. I'm in Luke 21. If you'd like to open it, you can follow along. Luke chapter 21. So we're going to pray and ask the Lord to bless the word. Father, we're very thankful tonight. We can look up to you, put our faith in you, Lord, and our trust. And oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're here to believe you, to trust you, Lord, and we want our eyes opened, and in every way, we want to be inspired by the Word. We want to learn. We want to understand. So open our hearts, open our eyes and our ears, that we can see and we can hear. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And everybody said, Amen. Jesus did not leave us in ignorance. Ignorance meaning we just don't know. We're ignorant and we don't know anything. We could be kind of ignorant if we didn't have the Bible. We wouldn't know why this happened or why that happened. So when you think about the Jewish people, we have to have some understanding of them. You know, they were a people cast upon the Lord, and they were the Lord's people and always called the people of God. And even in their up and down, God would chase them sore when they did wrong. But he never threw them out. He never abandoned them. And we look back over their history, and we see they had a lot of things happening. And they faced the chastening rod many times because of the way they did, the things they didn't do right. But God in his love will chasten you. You know that. If God loves you, he'll chasten you if you're wrong. Hey, he knows what we need. And never get mad at God for chastening you. Don't do that. If God is chastening you, he's straightening something out in your life. He'll thoroughly chasten you. And when he gets done, you'll know why. And he'll set you on your journey again. Now, prophecies of the scripture. There's a day when the scripture would be fulfilled. So the Lord spoke some things prophetically of things that would come and things that had to be fulfilled. And here's a prophecy now. So Luke 21:20. Let's just look at this. It'll tell us quite a few things. And when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. That's prophetic. When you see Jerusalem now surrounded with armies. Now, Jerusalem was a walled city. Still is. A fortified city. Go in there and shut the gates and Hey, you had big, thick stone walls all around you. Those big stone-walled cities was built as a refuge and a place because, hey, there was no safety anywhere. And at night, if you didn't get in that city, you didn't know what might befall you outside of it. And so it was like a giant bedroom. They lived in there. They farmed out in the fields. But Jerusalem, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. So he's telling them the day's going to come when they're going to see the armies gathering around Jerusalem. And that when you see it, you know the destruction is nigh. It's come. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out it. And let not them that are in the country enter thereunto. So he's warning when these things begin to happen, if you think anything of your life, you better flee from this city and you better get going. And you better go to the mountains. You better go way up in the mountains where there's more safety for you. So he's warning them in advance. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Seeing the armies around about the city are part of the days of vengeance then. These are not the vengeance here of the last days. These are the vengeance that would come upon Israel because of their rejection of Jesus. Now, if you're familiar with your Bible, you surely know that the Jews as a people, as a nation, did not receive Christ. They utterly reject Him and demanded His crucifixion and sought to have Him put to death, the thing which was accomplished. Now, that was what the Jewish people, not all of them, but that's the national thing that was done. That was the leadership. That was their role. That's what they pushed. They were the ones that was mostly pushing for this. But the multitudes that did accept Jesus, fine. In John chapter 1, it talks about them. But as many as received Him, to them gave He a power to become the sons of God. Now, we're thinking of this now, what they should flee. For these are the days of vengeance, and that all these things that are written would be fulfilled. But woe to them that are with child, and them, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. There will be great destruction, great distress in the land, and great wrath then upon this people. This people meaning Israel. Now, what was going to happen, happened. It was Jesus being rejected now, God giving them a little time, a little space grace to get their act put together. And gave them plenty of time to turn and repent and turn and receive Jesus. But they didn't. Now, when we say they, we don't want to think that nobody did. There were many people that received Christ while He was here. And there was a great company of priests that believed that it speaks about in the book of Acts in the early church. There were many Jews that did turn to the Lord. Let's remember the people that we read and love to read about are Jews. Paul, a beloved Jewish person. And how much we depend on his writing. We talk about one of their ancient kings as though he's our brother and we know him. And his name is David. We think he's a wonderful guy. We think he was a wonderful man. We talk a lot about old King David. But What did the Gentiles have to do with King David? War, sometimes. He fought the enemies of God and so on. But because we love Christ, if that isn't a tie that ties you to the Jewish people. Remember, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, who was a wonderful Jewish young woman. Pure and perfect before God. So we have to kind of look and say, we're tied as Christians. We're tied. Hey, we pick up their Bible every time we pick up the Bible. And here's the sacred scriptures. These Old Testament scriptures. We love them. We use them. We enjoy them. It was their scriptures. All of these people that we read then and look at. So we want to look at the Jewish people and we want to look at them in light of where they are and where they stand. So the Lord foretold that the city of Jerusalem then would be facing this great desolation. The day would come when armies would be gathered around it. Hey, they would be circulated around that that city, and they would stand there to starve the people out. Don't let nobody in, don't let nobody out. If you can stop the water from getting in, stop it. Do anything. And then when food gets so scarce there's nothing to eat, people are going to face death or face the enemy. Stay in there and rot or go out there. So Israel was in a place here where this being prophetic came to pass with the armies now. And the army of one called General Titus, he was a Roman general. Now the Romans were overlords, you know, of the world and over all the nations. Remember, Rome was ruling the world. Remember the Caesars, they were world rulers. Hey, everybody was under their domination. And while Jesus was here on the earth, they were under Roman domination. Who was Pilate? He was no Jew. Pontius Pilate wasn't a Jew. He was, you know, put there with the Romans. So we look at what they were under. It wasn't a good time for Israel in that sense. They had that overlordship and they resented it. They resented the Jews, the Romans in doing what they did. And we could look at the army that was there, and it was a Roman army. The centurions, they were Roman. They were Roman captains, or lieutenants, as we might say. So Israel would face the day, and here's the armies that would come. And General Titus and his army came to destroy this place. So it was the day when they did see Jerusalem compassed then about with armies. And there was a day then they did know that the desolation was nigh at hand at that time. It was the time that they that read would say, hey, the Lord said, flee out of here, let's go. And many fled then to go to the mountains and to protect themselves by listening to the instructions of the Lord. And they were to know and understand that these were days of vengeance. You know what vengeance are? Something is going to be brought back upon you for something you did. So that man killed that person, but that man that was killed had three brothers. And they said, we will not rest in peace until that man who killed our brother is dead. That's taking vengeance, isn't it? So vengeance, these are days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Then like a hard time like this, he talks about the hardships this is going to cause when he said, but woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. This people, meaning the Jews, they surely offended. They surely offended. They offended God greatly. God carried those people for generations. And here he is, he's in the world, you know, and he's here among them. Hey, they were his people. He classified himself as being one with them. But he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Kind of a shame. So what about the judgment and the wrath then? There'd be a lot of stress in the land. And from this time on, that's all there's ever been is stress in the land that's called Israel. If you think it would be a picnic to go and live in the land of Israel now, you might as well think again. You won't be there long and you won't get out of that place. It's a troublesome place. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. I ask you about the Jews and where they are. They're still scattered among the nations. Now, when Israel was overthrown by General Titus, they didn't want the Jews. They didn't want, the Romans didn't want the Jews. They didn't like them. They didn't like their law. They didn't like their ways. They were different. But here we see then what is really taking place and trying to understand them from their point of view, that they were led away captives into all the nations. Now, it would have been nice if all of these events would have been just as written in the Bible as a lot of other events. We're told they would happen, but then we don't have a lot of events to tell us how it happened and why it happened and all of that. So the Jews were dispersed from what we would say their homeland, that which was theirs. They didn't have all of their homeland in that day either. But what they had and what they occupied, they were taken out of the space that was their own country, their own. And they were dispersed among the nations. They were cast out to find a place wherever they could find one, somewhere out there in the world. And then we get the idea when we look and we read Paul and his missionary journeys and everywhere he went, it wasn't long until there was a Jewish synagogue in those cities. The Jews had to migrate out wherever they could go, wherever they could find. And so they were showing up all over the world in that day. They were scattered. They weren't allowed to be together. There weren't too many in one place. They were scattered all over the lived-in world of that day. Now, if we understand their captivity, they were led captive into all nations. That was God's doing. That was God's doing. It's not the judgment of General Titus. It's the judgment of God upon them. Surely Titus did all of this. And surely there were people. And there were people that hurt the Jews greatly. And there were many enemies of the Jews as a people. They'll all wish they hadn't done it. In days to come, those nations that did them dirt and did them hurt and so on, hey, they'll all be called in question for what they did, and they'll be thrown into the same situation, and God will scatter them all over the world. But here it's them we're talking about. So they were carried away captive into all nations. They're still there. Now there's an amount of Jews, and I couldn't give you a population figure, I don't know. How many are there? It's a small, little country. They are a sovereign country. They're their own now. They have their own land. That's their land. So they're a sovereign nation again. That ought to cause some of us to be concerned. You say, well, why should we be concerned? Israel becoming a nation, when we read the rest of this, you'll understand. So we see them scattered. Now that's there. So when we look, and you've read the epistles of Paul, like the book of Acts, and you trace him where he went. And if there was a synagogue in a city, Paul went there first to preach the gospel. The gospel to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. And that procedure, he followed that. Now, he was out there, and wherever there's a synagogue, he went into that synagogue and preached Christ to them. He went there to preach Christ to them. And out of that, many had second thoughts, and many did turn to the Lord. And out of some of those synagogues, there were people that actually became now Jewish Christians in Paul's churches. There would be a multitude, and there were other people going to their synagogues, even of the Gentiles. Now, all of their life settled like this all over the world, wherever they've been scattered, and they're still out there. So, you know the Jewish people have always been a prosperous people. They've been a prosperous people, and they've been hated over the years because of their ability to prosper. The Germans, in World War II, hated them. And the nations, they hated the Jews from being among them. So they took vengeance on them in that time to slaughter them, just to slaughter them off. And we know how many were put in the death camps and all of that. Well, those times, you know, boy, that was a hardship on those people. They were the dispersed out among the nations. Wasn't an easy day out there. So here we see they were taken captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. You know, Jerusalem is called the holy city. There's no place in the earth like Jerusalem. Hey, it's different. It was the only place on planet Earth that God ever allowed or permitted a place for His name to abide. It will be called the house of God, the house of prayer for all people. And Jerusalem now was certainly a centerpiece to Israel and to their religion and to their ways. Life revolved around the temple. Their life was a spiritual life. They were like, we are Christians. Hey, we give our life to this. Hey, they were children of God. They gave their life to that. And that temple, my, we know how David wanted to go up to the temple to worship God, how it was his heart. We realize it was a great place for them. But here it's telling us what would happen. Carried away captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem would become trodden down of the Gentiles, overlording now and controlling the city, overlording and controlling Jerusalem, being under Gentile domination, control. We wonder why some things are today. One great point of contention always, since the Jews have been back in their own nation, was at Jerusalem. The Mosque of Omar. Hey, that mosque is not Jewish. Hey, that's Muslim. And it's built right on the old temple site. Right where Israel might want to, hey, let's dig down to the foundation of the old temple and let's redo it. Let's build it up again. To build it up, you could understand now what that would require. Now, all of the Arabs, all the Muslims of the world, and there are many Muslims. Hey, they would be up in arms to tear it down. Well, it's ours. Well, where were you when we came? Hey, they were there too. So it's a capital now. It's Israel's capital now. And it's been Israel's capital. You know what I mean? It was their capital place. And then all these other religions now that have been there, including Christianity. We have roots there. We don't personally have roots there. So we think of what this is saying. Then they would be scattered into all nations, and Jerusalem being trodden down of the Gentiles. Then it uses the word until, prophetically, until. Gentiles are going to control Jerusalem until. There's a time limit. There's a time frame. What is that time frame? Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We are living in the times of the Gentiles. You know what I mean? Hey, we as Gentiles, look at our position and look at our place. We're in the place where Israel used to be. They used to be called the children of God. Now, how did we get into this? Paul explained it by explaining to us about the olive tree. And how, you know, you take and break off the branches, you know, of the olive tree. And branches, when you break them off, and graft some others in. Like as to say, the Jews were broken off and we Gentiles were grafted in. Like in, we're grafted into a good root and a good foundation. And therefore, hey, it's caused the tree to grow and to flourish and be a great tree. We're only grafted in. And he said, hey, don't be high-minded. If God broke the Jews off, then don't think he couldn't break you off too. Don't be high-minded. Just be thankful that God grafted us in and we became in the church taking this place where that don't make us Jews. We got to think about those people. So there they are, and Jerusalem would be trodden under foot of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now there's a phrase you ought to perk your ears up over. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now there's a certain length of time. Now if you went back and read the book of Daniel carefully, and you begin to look at the book of Daniel, and look at the situations that you could read out of Daniel and some of the prophets, you'd soon gain understanding. But we got to go back historically to the great Babylonian captivity. A time in Jewish history when they offended. A time when they offended. A time when they would not do as to follow God as they should. And we go back to that Babylonian captivity where they were dispersed. They were dispersed abroad. Hey, God just took them out of the land. Hey, they went to Babylon and they were over there 70 years. We know about that time. You know, they lost leadership of their country through that. And from that day onward, they had always been under one form or another of someone else's domination. They never got back their own country. To say that they weren't overlorded. So the Romans overlorded them for a long time. And we bear in mind that from then until now, one day the times of the Gentiles is going to be fulfilled. Now let us Gentiles set up and say, let's not be hard on those people. Let's not be hard on them. Hey, they're human beings just like we are. Yeah, and they're sinners. They're sinners. Can you commit what seems to be such a horrible sin? The sin they commit. What sin did they commit? They rejected God's Son, whom God sent to be their Savior. They rejected Him. They persecuted Him and demanded His crucifixion. Even in the face of Pilate, who would have seemingly let Him go, couldn't find no fault worthy of death in Him. Told him to give him a good beating and, hey, maybe you'll see what it's all about. But that's a whole lot that happened. But listen, the times of the Gentiles, it started way back there. Gentile world domination. Israel lost her sovereignty, to have her own place and call it her own nation, even though she lived there. So you can go back and it started, the times of the Gentiles starts back there. Then in that era, or the time of the great Babylonian captivity, they lost hold. They lost control. And from then on, they did not have a king. Now, we know in looking at the history, the scripture said they are going to be in this realm until. They're going to be in this realm of being overlorded until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We're approaching that hour, probably much faster than maybe we'd like to see. Gentile world domination. What country doesn't the Gentiles control? There's this little piece of real estate now. It's in the borders of the old borders of Israel, but it never stretches out to them. It's a little parcel of land generally described about the size of our state of Rhode Island. Now, if you know anything about Rhode Island, it's a little state in the Union. It's small. It's a small state, but it is a state. And we think of the land area that they have, and we think now they have taken this land area, which didn't seem to be anything much that anybody could do with, and they've turned it like, Garden of Eden. It's a beautiful place today, wherein they have irrigated and they farm, and hey, it's a productive little country. It's a powerful little country due to millions and millions and millions of dollars that this country has given to it. Billions. If God ever used this nation for anything, He has used it in this realm as far as any kind of restoration of Israel. So we got to think about the Jewish people then, and we want to think about them and their long period of dispersing among the nations. God's promises to Israel are clear. God would gather them from the nations wherein He scattered them. And God would bring all of the Jews back to Israel. Now the day's coming when all Jews, boy, everybody who could say I've got a drop of Jewish blood in me is going to want to say I'm a Jew, because everybody in the world is going to want to live in Israel in the days when the Lord comes back to earth and sets up His kingdom in Mount Zion at Jerusalem and rules gloriously over the whole world. His kingdom. Everybody will want to be a Jew that day. So we think about them as a people, and you can wonder about them. What they did offended God. What they did offended God. They offended God in the days of that, Babylonian captivity. You read Jeremiah, and oh, how a man poured out his heart and worked so hard to change their mind and turn them around. And they wouldn't listen. And God had told them in the law of Moses, the day when they did this very thing, God would cause them to be dispersed, to be scattered out from the nation that He gave them. And He'll scatter them out among the nations. And we know now, they were there 70 years, and then there was the restoration. We know, most of us, the story of Ezra and Nehemiah, and the restoration, and a few came back from Babylon. Most of them never came back. Those that came back and they worked and labored to rebuild and build the walls and repair the walls of Jerusalem. And even though they came back under that, they never were free. Never free to this day until this little nation was allowed. Now in 1948, it was penned into position as a little nation by United Nations in 1948. That's a long time ago. How many can remember 1948? It wasn't long ago. 48. We got married in 49. Well, you know how long it was then. Boy, somebody said, that was a long time ago. Now, Israel has never been brought back from being scattered among the world. They're still out there and they're still scattered. However, God in His Word, and you can go down and looking in the book of Isaiah and down almost to the end of the book. I think it's in chapter 62. There's the story given and the question asked, can a nation be born in a day? Ever read that? Can a nation be born in a day? The little nation we call Israel today was born in one day. One day. And a man that we know his name well, who was president then of the United States of America, was one of the greatest friends Israel had. And because of his strong stand and his pull, you know, and right after World War II, and in that realm, he stood for Israel, and he fought in this thing, and then finally, United Nations made this decree and signed it, giving Israel this block of land they now possess as their own homeland. Now, nobody overlords them. They're nobody else's nation. They're not one of our states or something. You know what I mean? But this nation has always been friendly to Israel. Without us, they'd really be in trouble. I'm glad our nation has, you know, stood up in this sense. God would use the nation and its might. But allowed this nation to begin. Now, that's the biggest sign we have. I'd say that's the greatest sign of the times that we have. Now, that's not going to contradict the Scripture. Now, it said this, that Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We look back, and it's nice sometimes that you were old enough to actually see or hear some things. We look back at some of the wars that Israel had since he's been this little country. The Arabs have tried so hard to overthrow it. You know, even tonight here as we talk, there's such a bitterness between Jews and Arabs, and it's there all the time. Now they're trying to make peace. They're trying to make room for the Palestinians to have a little country too. Like they have a country, like Palestine. There should be a little country now. And it's for Muslims. It's for the Palestinians. It was for people who did live in the land when Israel got theirs. And back at that time, United Nations was making the provision for those people to have a homeland. And they said, we don't want it. They thought it maybe it was too swampy or too something else. And they didn't take it. And they've been fighting for it ever since. So Israel took advantage of it. Hey, they don't want it. Hey, they just turned the place that was like a desert into a beautiful place. So now here we are. We're looking at this little nation, which now is very small. When it becomes Israel, and when you go back to the borders which God spoke to Abraham and gave him the land. Remember, that whole land is still Israel's land. God gave it to them and nobody could take it away. Though they may have been thrown out among the nations and scattered, may all that happen, but that's their land and their borders. If you took all the borders now that God gave them land, that was theirs. Now, you put all that out and say, they would become a large place if they were full up to their borders. Hey, the day's coming and won't be too far away when the Lord will regather Jews from all over the world and bring them back there. But beforehand, there's going to be a time of trouble there more than we can imagine. They've got great distress. They got a lot of things coming. So the Lord is saying then it would be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. If you want to understand what that means, it means, look out. Our time is about fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles. The time of Gentile world domination. the time of that is about to come to an end. Now we got to know and understand that we got to go by the things which we see. Now if you read this scripture, then that Jerusalem would be trodden down of the Gentiles, or trodden down, yes, of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. If you read that now with understanding, you say there's an end coming to something here. The end is world domination. Gentiles rule the world. Gentiles control the nations. The only nation in the world today that the Gentiles don't control is this little nation of Jerusalem. Gentile world domination. How is God going to have a kingdom and build His kingdom and put His kingdom over all of the whole earth? Well, a lot of things are going to give way for that. I enjoy reading Bible prophecy concerning these things. And I've had days of revelation of God of many things about these. But I look tonight and say, if we don't understand those people, what if you were one of them? You are Jew. You are religious to the hills, but you don't know Jesus. This is a troublesome thing. There they are. They're out in the world. They're trying to hold on that God is their Father. And they hold on to their religion. They don't let it go. But they reject God's Son whom He sent. They're still in that state. Where does that put them? Puts them in a hard place. Boy, they're sure between the rock and the hard place. But all of the end time troubles and all of these things that happen, we've got to understand the Holy Land is the place that sparks all these things. And Jerusalem is going to be a burdensome city to this world in these last days. It's going to be a burdensome place. More troubles, more problems like it's been, it will be. Now, right as we're having this little message about it, there's something going on. And we have to understand when we see there's things that are going on, you know, that concern the Jews, that concern them. And we look at these things and Jerusalem is it. Now, the land the Jews are willing to relinquish is called the West Bank. It's the west bank of Jordan's River. On the west bank, there is this property which would be just surrendered up of Israel. Israel controlled it. Now, they've let the Palestinians, you know, to move there. They're not an autonomous state now. They're not in a situation where, you know, as to say that they're in control of the Palestinians, but they want statehood. They want to have their own country, and they don't want no Israeli government over it. They don't want to be like that. And now, there's settling up, holding peace talks and all of these things, but they're down now to the thorniest issue they have to face. If you take the property that they want and would be given, Jerusalem is part of that. Now, you can see the handwriting on the wall. Are the Jews going to give up Jerusalem? Are they going to give up Jerusalem? Are they tied enough to that city to say, hey, we're not? It's been a strong, strong bone of contention, you know, ever since the whole thing started. What about that city? Israel said it's Israel's capital and it's going to remain that way. Well, that's what some say. There are some more moderate people that say, well, what makes a difference? Hey, it's just an old stone heap anyways. Or something else. But it's the city of God. It's the place where the great temple sat. There's prophecies in the scripture of Jesus coming back to earth, coming to Mount Zion. His throne will be at Mount Zion. Mount Zion, this is a part. This is a mountain, you know, like the mountains that surround Jerusalem. And so we recognize there's a place. It's marked. Hey, the Lord will reign from there on the earth. He's coming back to earth to rule and reign. He's coming back as a great king. He's coming back as King of Kings. The whole nation is going to be under his reign. The whole world is his dawn, you know, his dominion. And so we think about Jerusalem. What's going to happen? Would Israel let this place go? Would the Jews and the Arabs fight it out for it? What is to be? It's right now, it's a hot issue. The Arab people now, the Muslims, they want this place. Their mosque is there. It's their religious capital. As much as to say it's Israel's religious capital. They're claiming it is theirs. They lay claim to it. And they want that parcel. They want that parcel of ground because they want to have control of Jerusalem. Now listen, this is muddy water and the mud runs thick. This is a bone of contention and it won't solve easy. Everybody's got some action. Now I think tonight if we'd all want to think in our minds, the times of the Gentiles is drawn to a close. We think about the great and the terrible day of the Lord. What is that all about? We'll deal with that. And we'll deal with the prophecy that was there. We won't deal with it tonight. Unless you want to stay all night. There's a lot of things for us all to know and understand. Now, if we consider then the times of the Gentiles, and that started back there with Nebuchadnezzar, he's the start. He's the golden head, you know. And then we follow all of this down through, and there's all the world empires that come that were Gentiles. The Greek, the Romans, the Babylonian. You know, if we follow all of these things, we'll see out of it is this here. It's a clear picture now how muddy these waters are. And this has got to change. God is not going to send his son Jesus back to earth that his kingdom is going to somehow be under Gentile domination. His kingdom is going to cover the whole face of the earth. His kingdom will bring all peoples of the earth under it. It won't be it brought under something. So we recognize that's where the change is. We can't have world domination. There just can't be the world now domination, Gentile domination now of the nations. This is going to have to come to an end because the kingdom of God is going to replace it. And it's going to come to an end. And in its coming to an end, it's going to be a judgment, you know, like the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's going to break all these bondages. That Jesus is going to come with mighty power. And it's in the midst of the fight of these things, especially over Jerusalem, that one day the Jews are going to turn to Jesus. And they're going to receive Christ. They're going to receive him as their Messiah and their Savior. Hey, the day's coming. When at first, hey, there are some Jews today, but at first, you know, we'll see that that's a thing that is got to come. And it's going to be the awful, terrible pressures of the day and the battles and the armies. All of the armies of the world are going to congregate against Jerusalem. The devil is going to try to stop Jesus from coming back to earth. He's got a plan where he's going to get all of the armaments of all of the nations and of all of the armies and try to bring them all against Jerusalem. And there in this battle that somehow he's going to circumvent the Lord from coming and setting up his kingdom. How foolish can you be? But that's the order. That's what's there. And that's what's on the devil's drafting board. And you can read surely in the scripture in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, and you will see that those nations now would be with Antichrist, you know, for a certain period. They would then can give all of their power of all of the nations they're under, and they'll give it over to Antichrist for this great day. And there's all of these powers. Now they're going to gather. And they're going to gather against Jerusalem. What on earth are Jews going to do in that day? Boy, they got a break coming. The break is that Jesus comes back to earth. The break is going to be when they now acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior and turn to Him. In the day when they will turn. And hey, that's clearly there in the book of Joel, and we'll see that's there, you know. We can see about them being brought back from the nations wherein they were scattered. But we got to bear in our mind the Jewish people. Boy, they've got a lot to go through. You think you've got troubles. They've got troubles. They've been in trouble for 2,000 years. Now, I want you to know how serious this matter is. 2,000 years has gone by, and God hasn't restored them. It's not until this time is fulfilled in the Scripture. Still scattered. What's He going to do with the Jewish people? They believed in God all this long time. Jews everywhere, you know. There's synagogues. There's a synagogue in Everett. There's synagogues all over the world. There are Jews that still follow. But you know, they've not had a temple. They've not had a place to offer sacrifices. To our knowledge, there hasn't been a sacrifice made for 2,000 years. How are they going to get back to their place? Until they accept Jesus, they can't. But you see, these are the great events that are coming, and they're focusing in, and hey, we're here. We're here in the world, and hey, this is going on, and this is being fulfilled. And hey, this verse of Scripture I read you about the times of the Gentiles is a very plain verse of Scripture which attests to us. Seeing Israel over there with a little nation now is enough to tell us, hey, this is telling you, this is bringing an end to a Gentile world domination. It will bring an end to it. When? In God's time, when Jesus comes. When Jesus comes, you want Jesus to come back and take us? You want Him to come back down to earth again, as He said, and set up His kingdom? You'd be glad to see all that? Hey, look at what there is in the way. Look at the things that have got to change and be removed. Look at the powers that have to be broken. Look at what a time it will be. I'm sure glad that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I'm sure glad that I could see back in Matthew, speaking in chapter 28, you know, and speaking of the times, Jesus surely, you know, gave us a clear indication by saying, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. How much power? All power. Now, if you were the great king and you had all the power of heaven and earth behind you, you would be a powerful king, wouldn't you? You would be a world dictator, wouldn't you? You'd have everybody under your thumb. Everybody wants to be a world dictator, you know what I mean? They want to run the world their way. So there's all these fiendish people that have been there in the past, and all they did was hurt others. Jesus is coming. He's not like any other king this world has ever known. This world has never had a king, nor never had a president, or never had a world leader who knew what to do. Who of himself had 1 ounce of power to do anything. Jesus Christ has all power and all might. Anybody who gets in the way of this certainly will go the way of the Word, because God has already foretold how He would take up. But before He takes this up, you know, the world's going to get involved in a great tribulation. A great time of wrath. 7 years of hardships. Trials like the world has never seen. So tonight we got to bear in our mind that great tribulation. is not very far away. I say that in light of my deep feelings, the knowledge that I have. I believe that we're at the end of the age. I can't say that and give you a verse of Scripture. I can't tell you, well, hey, I know it. I mean, this and I know that. I'm telling you what I sense from the Scripture, from my knowledge of the Scripture, my understanding given to me over the years of God. I understand, surely, one day Jesus is going to come, and that's the one event that we've got to wait for. All of these other problems, they'll all straighten itself out in the end. The Lord will do it. But then we believe also that Jesus will come, and He'll take us up according to the Scripture in 2 Thessalonians or 1 Thessalonians 5. He's going to take us out of this. He's going to take us out of this. It's our hope. That's why He told us to pray for, you know, that we could escape all these things. How are you going to escape it? If you're in the world here, how are you going to escape it? It's going to shake the whole world. Well, we're going to escape it, and the only way we can is for the Lord to come. The mountains aren't hardly big enough to hold us all out there, are they? We're all going to go out in the mountains and live and wait it out there. Some folks have packed food out in the mountains, and they have great hoards of things, you know, to help them in that day. They'd do better to serve the Lord and give their heart to Jesus and walk with God and be ready. I started talking to you this morning about being ready, didn't I? Hey, that's what we were talking about. Are you ready? We've got to be ready for His coming. That's our cue. That's a one-timer. That's a one-timer for us. We got to be ready when He comes. Let's be ready. So, there's a lot of other things that are spoken here. I just want to read down just a little bit more. I'm in verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexities, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing, them for fear looking, and for looking upon those things which are coming to pass, or coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now I read that scripture and I look at that time and I say, boy, what hardships. Did you ever think you could be so fearful and so afraid that it caused you surely to have a heart attack and drop dead? Your heart fail you for fear. You're so fearful. The world is going through a time where fear is going to cause many to drop dead. Fearful of fearful things that are coming. Now, on the day of Pentecost, Peter quoted about these signs. And the sun and the moon and the star. The sun refusing to shine. The sun, we couldn't see any light from it. It would become total dark. Just darkness. He said the moon would be turned to blood. We don't know what that means, except one thing could be very evident. Flesh and blood has been on the moon. An unbelievable thing. A man has been on the moon. More than one. Great things that are spoken, like great mushroom-like clouds. We know those clouds come from atomic or hydrogen explosions, you know. These things that would come upon the earth. So what we want to make sure is this. Hey, if we're ready, we don't have to worry about this. Could you imagine a panic in the world if the sun didn't shine tomorrow? And the moon wasn't out tomorrow night? Could you imagine then if some of these great earthquakes begin to happen all over? Well, we have saw a lot of those earthquakes, and Jesus gave it a sign to us of His coming. So, I think we could stop here. But I said all this tonight for one reason. What was that reason? I want you to have some appreciation for the fact of the Jewish people. How wrong they were for rejecting Jesus. How ignorant they were. How blind they were. That happened to them. But God is going to be restored to them. And the end of the age and the things that happen consist of that. There's a major point in all of that. Israel. And He's going to establish His covenant or His kingdom in Israel. So I want us all to just be knowledgeable to some degree and appreciative in some way. Our faith in God was their blessing. Remember, this was given to the Jews, what we enjoy. Remember, it was the Jews that were at Pentecost. It wasn't Gentiles there. We got our blessing over at Cornelius' house when God gave this to us. So we want to think then of there's a tie there, whether we want to appreciate it or not. I don't think we should be very high-minded. We see what happened to them. And we need to consider the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled. When the times is fulfilled, the Lord is going to have made up His church out of the Gentiles that He would make. It'll be done. It'll be over. That's when we got to be ready to go home. Are you ready? And if the Lord came tonight, are we all set? We're ready. That's where we live every day. That day's coming, and He didn't tell us what day, so we got to wait. We got to watch. Are you ready? The life we're living. Is it going to be pleasing to Him? Are we going to be blood washed in that day? Church, if there's any one thing we want, blood washed, spirit filled, full. We want to be in this realm where we're absolutely ready. We don't want to wind up as a foolish virgin who didn't make it. Can we say amen to that now? All right, well, let's stand. We'll pray. Father, we thank You tonight we could talk about the Jewish people. Lord, You came to minister to the Jews. Lord, You spent Your whole ministry ministering unto them. Lord, they rejected You. And Lord, it was their mind and heart to do You in. However, we knew that You had already foretold these sufferings and why they would be. And oh God, we're glad that You turned to the Gentiles to take a people out of the Gentiles. And oh God, we're glad to be a part of the body of Christ. We're glad to be a part, Lord. We just want to be with You, Lord. And in the end, Lord, we'll be caught up together, glorified together with You. Help us, Lord, in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to remember the good things You promised us that You will fulfill. And oh God, help us to remember, Lord, if we're going to get our loved ones in, Lord, we need to start working on it. They need to get right. They need to turn to God. Lord, help us tonight. God, just help us. Bless the message, Lord, into our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And everybody said, amen. Amen.